Hello, welcome to North Valley Church's Sermon Podcast. Today, Dan Housam will be talking about a vision for worship. If you have questions about our Sermon Podcast or North Valley Church, you can reach us at our website, nvcmd.org.
Good morning again, North Valley Church. My name is Dan. I am the lead pastor here at North Valley Church. And I just, building into this sermon today, I just have been awestruck about how cool God has been for North Valley Church. He's like blessing us and blessing through us. Right, if you were here last week, God sent us a blessing, right? God sent us the gathering place worship team, and we had the drum circle. I got people already asking, where's our drum circle, Dan? I don't know, I'm missing it. So they came here, and God blessed us through that. We had a great time of worship. Cindy Wingood got to share her heart and passion, and I've had a ton of people tell me that they appreciated being able to hear from Cindy that day. God sent us a blessing that day. God also has been blessing through us. We, over the Christmas season, we did an angel tree for the homeless community. We got them gifts so that the homeless community would be able to celebrate Christmas. Some of us went to the Super 8 motel and helped them celebrate. We threw them a Christmas party. Christmas morning, we were there and throwing them a Christmas party. So there were people who got to celebrate Christmas because of what God's doing here, and we were able to extend and show that to someone else. I think tomorrow, you all haven't seen it yet, but tomorrow we're going to be taking At You Bless You bags to Myersville Elementary School. Dave and Cheryl have put together 50 bags, and we're gonna take them over. Inside of them, right, this cold and flu season, right? So it's At You Bless You, and inside the bag are things like sanitary wipes, right, to clean things down, disinfectant spray, tissues, right, just the normal stuff that teachers need. And of course, we threw in some chocolate, right? So we're making chocolate happen. God is blessing through North Valley Church. Really cool. And He is genuinely blessing inside of our community as well. We are not the same church we were 2 years ago, right? It hasn't even been 2 years when we, coming out of COVID, when we had our first public worship service. On that, it was like the first Sunday in June, first or second Sunday in June. There were 40 people here, grand total. We didn't have a kids ministry downstairs. Everything was going on up here. And it worked. It worked for 40 people. If you were here 2 weeks ago, it looked and felt different. 2 years ago, 40 people in here was cool. 2 weeks ago, there were over 80 people here. There weren't 10 kids just down here playing and having fun. There were over 20 kids, right? Group dynamics go way different. We've grown. Praise God. We've grown. It's a big deal. When we think about what it is that God's doing and we see these things going on at North Valley Church, man, it's just appropriate for us to go, oh my gosh, I should be praising God. I should be thankful for what it is that He's doing in and through North Valley Church. My favorite church growth verse is 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 7. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. So the fact that we've been experiencing this kind of blessing, right? God could choose, we're not ready for growth. One day he might say, y'all have maxed out for a little bit, y'all need to mature some more before we go on to the next thing. But man, for the past almost 2 years, God has selected to bless North Valley Church. Can we just take a moment and give God a hand? Just yay, God. With that kind of growth comes growing pains, right? If you were here 2 weeks ago and experienced what Family Sunday was on that day, it was tough. Even I walked away going, wow, that was a lot. Right? There are, and when I talk to people, I talk to people and I hear both sides, right? I've heard people have shared with me, and I'm hearing through the grapevine, I'm never coming to another Family Sunday again. That's just not going to happen. Okay, I got it. It's a little chaotic, and you're right. It was chaotic. And when I talk about, yeah, we might do some things with Family Sunday, I have other people go, please, please, please don't cancel it. I love the chaos. I love the mess. It's great. So y'all can, you know, work amongst yourselves about who's digging it and who's not. As I've been hearing and experiencing those comments, it just pulled on my heart. It's like, all right, I think there's a leadership issue. We've outgrown the space, praise God. We can't do Family Sundays the way we've always done them. So there's a leadership thing that we just need to think and talk about how that might look different. And I'll talk more about that later in the sermon. But as I wrestled with that, I was convicted that, Dan, it's not just a leadership thing. There's a spiritual thing going on. This is worship, Dan. This is worship. And there's a spiritual side to the decisions that we're making. And so as we go through this growing pain and we're experiencing this and we're seeing some change, it just made sense. Hey, you know what? I don't know that we've ever taken a Sunday and just talked about worship. So I just want to take a few minutes today and talk about worship. And I want to paint a vision about what I think God might be expecting for worship. I'm going to share what it is that I'm expecting for worship, particularly on Family Sundays, right? There's something we're trying to achieve. And then I'm going to build some guardrails. That's where we want to go, but there ought to be some guardrails. So let's step into this. How we got to where it is we are today is my passion and love of kids running around here screaming and yelling and having a good time. I love that. I love that kids, if you don't watch them, they walk in the front door, they don't get off that black mat, and they're ripping their coats off, they take their shoes off, and they're bolting, right, to just run around and have fun. When those kids, statistically speaking, when those kids turn 18, there's a 70% chance they will never go back to church. Right? So I have an opportunity. My heart is that when they turn 18, they go, church was a crazy fun place. I want to be there. We have an opportunity to touch them in the places that matters. Yes, we want to share with them truth. I absolutely am convicted that we need to be able to not just tell them about Jesus, but help them understand and build their own faith, right? When you talk about kids ministry, sometimes there's a debate about biblical knowledge versus real faith, right? We can fill them full of biblical knowledge. That's a good thing, but that's not really what I want to do. I want them to have a personal relationship with who their Lord and Savior is. And a piece of that puzzle is having a good time. If you're a kid, you just want to have a good time. So I'm letting you know, I'm just being transparent with you. That's my heart. That's my passion. I love the kids running and screaming. When they do that, it blesses me because I know 10 years from now, they're going to go, yeah, I remember going to church as a kid and I had a fun time. Right, I was talking to Rob about Family Sunday and how crazy it is one day. And he was sharing his memories of church when he was growing up. And he doesn't remember fun. He doesn't remember having a good time. He remembers being told to sit in a seat and be quiet, don't move. And if you're a kid, that's like prison. Who's going to want to come back to that? So that's where I'm at. I'm just being transparent. That's where I'm at. So let's step into a little bit, just a little bit, of what I think God tells us about worship. We're going to pop around books of the Bible a little bit. In John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, Jesus is speaking, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and His worshipers must worship in Spirit and in the truth." The thing that jumps out at me when you read that, a lot of people jump into Spirit and truth, blah, 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 blah. Back up a few words before we get there, right? The Father is seeking worshipers. He wants us to be worshiping Him. This is like, if we can do anything to make God smile, this is one of those moments. Being drawn corporately, I'm a big fan of everybody should be worshiping at home. We're all going to do it a little different. You should be worshiping Monday through Saturday. But on Sunday, what a grand opportunity we have just to gather together and all together look up at heaven and go, yeah, it's all about you. You are worthy of our praise, worthy of our worship. Hoorah! It's a grand moment. He wants us to do that. And Jesus is also pointing out, you just don't do it randomly, and it's not just acts. We're not going through motions. When we talk about worship, when the leaders pull away and we talk about what it is we're trying to accomplish here, one of the words I use is authentic. I want what we do to be authentic. I don't want mechanics. I don't want routine. I love changing it up just so that we don't get stuck in a rut, because I want us to be able to be focused on God, make sure that He is about what it is that we're doing. And we do that by being real, that we worship God in spirit and in truth. The real thing behind that is we're following Jesus Christ. The truth is, the reason we're worshiping God is because He sent His Son 2,000 years ago to live on this earth and then die on a cross, to do something that we, none of us, will be able to do for ourselves, pay the debt for our sin. And when He took that sin upon Him and shed His blood, the door opened for us to have an opportunity to restore our relationship with God. See, our sin broke our relationship with God. And when Jesus gave His life on the cross, we can now put our faith and trust in what He's already done and say, you know what, I can try, I can work hard, but the reality is I'm never going to overcome my sin on my own. And I'm going to trust no longer in myself, but I'm going to trust in the work that Jesus has already done for me. That's the truth. Cooler yet, when 3 days later, when He rose from the dead, He demonstrated He is the one with power and authority to forgive sin. And when we put our trust in Him and accept His forgiveness and His leadership into our life, we're forever changed. We get that ticket to heaven. We're going. Hoorah! Not only do we get the ticket to heaven, but we're changed right now. The Bible says that we receive His Spirit. In that moment, we say, I'm going to follow Christ. And when we receive His Spirit now walks with us. And that as we learn more about what Jesus and God has said through His Word, and we can figure out how to apply it, we have an opportunity to be able to do that based on the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. We're not doing it on ourselves. When we're worshiping in partnership with the Holy Spirit. When we say worship in spirit and in truth, it's the Holy Spirit living inside of us, and we know what the truth is. That's the kind of worship God's really looking for. That's the kind of worship He loves on a Sunday morning. If you've never thought about your relationship with Jesus and how that affects your ability to have a relationship with God in heaven, man, I would love to talk to you. I would love to guide you along the steps on how do I get started accepting what it is that Jesus has done for me. What does that look like to get started? What are my first steps? And I can help guide and lead you on that way. If you don't like me, if you think I'm wearing bad colors today, You can talk to the guy who was playing bass earlier. His name is Grant, and he would be happy to walk along with you as well. If you don't think you're going to have time to be able to talk to me or Grant today before you leave, you can always send an email to info@nvcmd.org, and I will get back with you as quickly as I can. When we worship on Sunday morning, God wants us to be here and worship on Sunday morning. He desires that kind of worship. And the kind of worship he's looking for is not just robotic stuff. It's people who've accepted who Jesus is and are ready to just take a moment and let God know how important he is. As we learn and grow in our relationship with God, we have an opportunity to share that with other people. We can share it with other tall people, but we also get to share it with short people, right? Those little kids who are yelling and running and screaming and being wacko, we get to share it with them. In Deuteronomy 6, it says, God is talking through Moses to Israel. He has given them the law of Moses, and now he's wanting to let them know what to do with this law. These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Everywhere, all the time. Be about what God's word says. We ought to be able to, it shouldn't be just a Sunday morning thing, right? I ought to be about worshiping God and following what it is his desire is for me Monday through Saturday as well as Sunday morning. Be mindful of that. And he made a point to tell the nation of Israel, and oh, by the way, make sure you tell the kids. Because this isn't meant to be a secret, and it's not meant to be dying with this generation. Tell the kids. It's not very vague. We get to do the same thing. We get to tell the kids. We get to tell the kids about who God is and how much he loves them and what it is that he's done for them. And we get to do it in creative ways downstairs that they get to understand. By coincidence, if anyone remembers Jim McBride's sermon a few weeks ago, by coincidence, guess what the kids' lesson is today? The people worshiped God. While we're up here talking about worship, Miss Mary is downstairs doing the same thing, talking about worship with the kids. My idea for Family Sunday isn't just to give the kids workers a break. That's a good benefit. But my real vision is tell the kids. And we can tell the kids by modeling what it is that we do. So as we go forward, when I say Family Sunday, it's not just church family. Man, my heart is that families would be able to take some time and worship together. Today, you have a grand opportunity. We're talking about worship today. They're talking about worship downstairs. On your way home today, ask your kids, what did you learn today in school? And they're going to say, I don't remember. After the snack, I forgot everything. But then you get to remind them, I think somebody said something about worship. Is that right? And then have a conversation about worship. Today is your chance to be able to do that as a family. And so that when we do gather, right, we can be mindful that it's just not a place to hang out for 45 minutes, that this ought to be a place where family is worshiping. Church family together, but man, I would love for families to be able to do that as well. That's my vision. That's really what my heart is about Family Sunday, that the kids get to see their parents doing it. And parents might be able to coach them along and help them understand what worship looks like. So that's where it is. I would love for us to be able to go with what we do on Family Sundays. As I've shared, and I love the fact that kids play and have a good time and scream and yell. That's all cool with me. However, when we talk about worship, there's a spiritual thing going on, and I think there are some guardrails that we need to talk about. My vision is that we would be able to worship open and freely to God as a family, but let's talk about the guardrails. Let's talk about one of the guardrails of don't be a Corinthian. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 14. Paul says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you, but in the church, I would rather speak five intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Just hang out there for a moment. So the context is Paul is writing them about how they're letting people speak in tongues in the church service. He never says stop doing that, but he does point out that if the speaking in tongues isn't edifying people, it doesn't make sense. He's saying that speaking in tongues is cool. I would rather have intelligible words. Paul is emphasizing in these moments of instruction when church is going on, there ought to be some calm. There ought to be some order. During the moments of instruction, if you get right down to it, the reason we gather on a Sunday morning is to preach God's word. The reason we gather on a Sunday morning is to preach God's word. The worship music is about preparing our hearts and celebrating what it is that God's speaking to us. Maybe it's a chance to celebrate what he spoke to you Monday through Saturday, but hopefully it's a chance to celebrate what he's speaking to you right now in this moment. Whether it's me or somebody else, this is really the reason. Right? Worship is the music part, that's celebrating God. That's worship. But you know what? The preaching is worship too. Staking some time, reading his word and learning, that's worshipful to God. You know what? Doing announcements is worship to God. Everything we do during this time worships God. Think about what we do in announcements. We talk about the great things God's doing and the opportunities that we get to connect with his kingdom and do cool things. That's worship. Everything we do is worshiping God. But this moment of instruction needs to be treated a little special. He continues in this passage. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy, speaking God's word, and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. So I'm just here to observe as I was wrestling with what we've been doing in Family Sunday. We've been sneaking up on bumping into this guardrail. Last week, we dented the guard. 2 weeks ago, we dented the guardrail, right? We just were swerving. Boom! Okay, yeah, we gave it a good hit. You got my attention. Thank you. So I want us to be thinking, particularly during this time, fitting and orderly way. That's the guardrail on this side. So don't be a Corinthian. The Corinthians were not paying attention to this moment and importance in the guardrail. And Paul had to tell them, you can't be chaotic. You need to have order, especially during the time of instruction. That's one guardrail. Let's talk about the other guardrail. Don't be a Michael. Michael's a girl. Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, while he and all Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts and sounds of trumpets. Right? So, David is dancing all his might. I don't have the scripture, but if we were to read Mark chapter 12, around verse 29, 30, 31, it says that we should love God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all our strength. What would it look like if you worshiped and loved God like that? If you loved God with all your strength, you wouldn't be standing still. Think about it. If I'm going to all out, all in worship God, I'm not standing still. I'm doing it with all my heart. I'm passionate. This matters. And I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it with enthusiasm. I'm doing it with all my mind. I know what the truth is. I get it. That's actually my fuel and reasoning to point me in the right direction to express all this to God. We do it with our soul. There's something deep inside of us that happens when we're worshiping God, and we're open to that. There's a moment, I believe, when we're worshiping God and all the things line up the way they're supposed to, like the veil between here and heaven parts. And y'all, some of you know what I'm talking about. The veil parts, and while I'm worshiping God, it's like, oh my God, I feel like I'm standing right in your presence. You know what I'm talking about. There's something deep inside of us that happens as part of worship. So I want us to be open to that. That's what David was doing here. Look what happened as David's out there doing it all out. Look what happened with one of his wives. When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, going around half naked in full view of the slave girls and of his servants as any vulgar fellow would." She was offended. She saw David, I want you to catch this, she saw David worshiping God, dancing half naked. Cool. I want us to, we're not all there, but I want us to go, oh, that's cool. Dancing half naked on Sunday, worshiping God, that's cool. Right? Some of us are going, you know, when the kids are down here sometimes doing their things, I don't know what it's like to worship like a 3-year-old. It's been a long time since I've been 3. What does it look like for a 3-year-old to worship God? It's probably going to offend some of us. As we open our doors for people of different abilities, they're going to worship God different ways too. I need us to have a guardrail over here so that we don't become Michaels. David responded to his wife. David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people. I will celebrate the Lord." David's saying, you know what? I've got ginormous reasons to be grateful to God, to worship and praise God. And you know what? I'm doing it all out. Look what he's done for me. I hope as we enter our Sunday mornings, take a moment and just go, oh yeah, let me think about 3 things God's done for me in the last week, and let's get it on. And let's do it. Right? If you want to be in the moment with the worship, think about the gratitude. That's where David was coming from. David worshiped like that because he recognized his gratitude for what God has done for him. He went on to use some phrases. I love this passage. "I will become even more undignified than this." Yep, dancing half naked, we can go further. "And I will be humiliated in my own eyes, but by those slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in high honor." Ooh, worship, when the music is going, could get a little nuts. Right? Here, we're mostly kind of calm, conservative folk. We don't do that. But there are churches that they do get nuts when they worship. I would love for us to not be the Michal. People, I love that people worship different ways. I love it. I know that I want order. God says you have to do things in an orderly way, but I also want have freedom to be able to do that. I'm not deputizing anybody to be the worship police. It's not going to be okay to go tell somebody they're doing it wrong. If you see somebody worshiping and it does, you're like, I don't think you're supposed to be doing that. I don't want to be a Michael. Those are the guardrails. Don't be a Corinthian. Don't be a Michael. Give God an opportunity to draw his people to himself. And oh my gosh, we don't know what that might look like. So, how do we achieve the vision of wanting to worship God, of wanting to have a family moment, but staying inside the guardrails? How do I achieve the vision and stay in the guardrails? We're going to try something on February 27th. We're just going to do it a little different. It's last time Grant did Family Sunday, he likes mentioning on Family Sundays. I love Family Sundays because we never do the same thing twice in a row. That's the part I love about it. We get to be free. So in honor of everything I've been saying, we're going to try and do things a little different. On Family Sunday on February 27th, the kids will participate in the opening worship. They'll be up here for, we normally do three songs. So the kids are going to be up here for the first three songs, doing whatever it is that they've been doing, having fun, but they're learning more about what worship ought to look like, and families on the way home today will get to talk about, let's talk about what worship, what this should be going on. And Dan's, I'm shortening it up, right? You make it simple for kids. Whatever it is you're doing, make sure we're focused on God. He ought to be the object of our worship. So if we can do that, that will be great. So for those first three songs, everyone's here. When the sermon time begins, when the instruction begins, the blue and orange rooms, those are kids in ages 3 to 6, the blue and orange rooms will be dismissed to go downstairs. And Miss Mary will be down there with a few helpers. And for the sermon time, the kids will get to stay down there. And then, all right, y'all have been waiting to hear this, so that while the sermon's going on, y'all will have some peace and quiet and be able to hear the preaching. Go ahead. I know you want to say yay. Go ahead. Yay. And normally we do a worship song after the sermon. So y'all get the sermon-y part and a song, Adult Swim. Just go, ah, yay. A little point out here. We're sending the blue and orange rooms downstairs. Green rooms, the older kids, let them stay up here. Part of what we want is to acclimate them to this kind of worship, right? Instead of doing kids' way and then being culture shocked into doing it this way, once a month, they'll get to sit here through the whole sermon. Our expectation is probably the green room kids will be able to get, oh, okay, I can sit still for 20 minutes while the sermon, the shortened sermon for Family Sunday, they can sit for 20 minutes. So the green room stays up here. Right now, we're not going to try and do a nursery downstairs, so the babies will stay up here as well. But I can preach through a screaming baby, no problem. The kids will stay downstairs until the end of the service, at which time they will be brought back upstairs by the leaders who were with them. So, in 2 weeks, when we do Family Sunday, everyone will be here. We'll do our thing with music. When the preaching starts, the kids will be dismissed downstairs, and they'll hang down there until the end of the service, and then they will be brought back up here. Give me a thumbs up if you're still awake. Okay, cool. All right. God has been blessing North Valley Church in ginormous, unexpected ways, right? I don't know how all this has happened, and the only thing I can do is show up and just do the best I can every chance I get. But God's choosing to do cool things. We are growing. We're outgrowing this space. We're growing in this space. We're growing in our ministries. Kurt, if I could get the next slide. Our kids' ministry, as I've been talking about, is growing. In all seriousness, we could use a couple extra set of hands. Last week, we talked about the Beacon ministry, and that a piece of that is opening up the sensory room. It requires a few more people to be able to staff the sensory room. So if you don't mind, we're going to play the game here. Everybody, just take out your cell phone so that no one will feel odd or embarrassed. Just take out your cell phone. You can tap your cell phone, and you can double-check if your favorite Super Bowl quarterback is still okay. Go ahead, do it. It's all right. But you could also send an email to info@nvcmd.org if you think, hey, you know what, maybe I can help with the kids. If you're not already doing something on a Sunday morning once a month, that's all I'm asking. Once a month, could you take and hang out with kids? Maybe you can send an email. Go, okay, Dan, I think I'm willing to risk my life and go help kids on a particular Sunday. Right, so everyone's got their phone, so no one's embarrassed. I'm going to give you a moment just to finish rifling through your Super Bowl updates. And while you're doing that, if I could have the band come back up. God has been blessing North Valley Church. He's been sending us blessings from other churches. He's been blessing our community through North Valley Church. Praise God. Praise God. And cool thing happens, right? You run into some growing pains. Hoorah. And those are the pains I want to deal with. Those are good. Those are good things. We're going to close out with one more song. And while we do that, man, just take a moment and take a deep breath and say, I want to worship God. I'm going to worship God. If you want to move a little bit, you can do that. You can clap along, sing loud. You don't have to sing good, sing loud. Right? Worship with all you got. That's what God's looking for. Worshipers with spirit and truth. Would you pray with me? Dear Father in heaven, man, thank you. Man, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for sending him to change everything. Specifically, you change our lives. You take us from a place of hurting and lostness and not knowing how to have a relationship with you. But in your Son, there's truth about who we are, who you are, and gosh, how much you love us. Lord, I pray that you would help us connect with that. Help us to be able to do things in a way that honors what your word says. We want to worship you. We want to do it inside the guardrails, that we want to do things in an orderly fashion. We want to do things in a way that people have the freedom to worship you as you are calling them to. Lord, if there's anybody here who is still struggling or confused or just knows that they haven't made that commitment to accept your Son, Jesus, into their life, Lord, I pray that you would just speak to them in this moment as well. I lift all this up, and I look forward with great expectation to the things you're going to continue to do in and through each one of us and your church. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.